I may have told some of you this before, but I didn't like maths when I was at school. I'm not answering that one. I may have had to on occasion. I didn't like maths. I didn't like maths because I couldn't see where I was ever going to do my trigonometry or geometry ever again, because I don't get set squares and things out when I'm pretending to mow the lawn or something. I didn't understand maths. The problem was, has been alluded to, in order to be the teacher that I wanted to be, I had to pass it. And the first time round, I didn't. So I had to resit. And during that resit year, I struggled a bit. And it got to about halfway through the year, and we'd done the mock exam, still fills me with fear and dread, even though I inflicted it on hundreds of children ever since. And I didn't do quite as well in the mock as I wanted to. And in the lesson following, all of a sudden, the teacher called my name out to the front. Now, those of us of a certain age will remember that sensation of being summoned to the front of the classroom. And so I went out, and he looked at me, and he said, "I've got it." I said, "What?" He said, "I've got what you're doing wrong. Will you stop trying to understand what you're doing and just do what it says?" And you see, thought a little bit about that, because I've often looked, as my wife will tell you, I don't understand art either, really. A gallery to me is something you can very quickly go around on a rainy day because it keeps you dry, right? I mean, that's fair enough, isn't it, really? You know? No, you're about 8 hours in there, dear, aren't you, really? By which time I've gone around several times and been told off a few times for not being able to see whatever. But, you know, there is a thing about art as well, and I've heard teachers say it, instructing their students or their pupils, draw what you see, not what you know. So seeing what's right in front of you. And you see, that's quite good advice, isn't it? And we can do the same in the church. Now, I haven't come, don't worry, armed with paper, pencils and what have you for a change. I'm not going to make you do anything today for a change either. I know you're disappointed. But I want you to start thinking a little bit about that notion of what you see, not what you know. And I wonder how many times when you're coming up to do something, I'm sure it's started already. How many people have got a list of all the jobs they've got to do before Christmas? Anybody? Anybody going to admit that? Or is it all going up in here? You know, have we all looked up the last posting dates? Have we written all our cards yet? Have we worked out who's coming for dinner? How many we're going to feed? Have we all bought the turkey or whatever we're going to have? Are we all panicking now that we've not done it?
Yeah.
We can so often see all the problems that might occur, even though they haven't. How many times when we want to put an event on in the church, do we say, "Well, nobody will come. Well, nobody will sell the tickets. You know, who's going to do the teas and coffees? What happens if?" And we can do if only all the time. And why do we do the if only? Because we know in the past it's not quite gone according to plan. Now just imagine if we looked at the Christmas story in terms of what might go wrong rather than what we see. Would it be that time of joy, that time of peace, that time of sharing love, if we were thinking about all the things that could go wrong with the Christmas story? One of the great joys of the Christmas story is it can't change. It's in front of us. We know the characters. Theologians may have made some of them up and given them names that they didn't have, but we sort of know. And when we look at the manger, what do you focus on? What do you see in that manger? Or do you say, oh, I wonder where the baby is? Has somebody forgotten it? Do you see, oh, have Mary and Joseph gone on holiday? They're not going to turn up this year. What if the donkey breaks down? You know. All those things. No. We stick with what we see in front of us. And we have those moments where somebody does something a little bit different and we go, ooh, that's not how it's usually done. No. We see what's in front of us. And we should focus on what's in front of us and what we actually see, not on what can go wrong. I can never think of Christmas without linking it to Easter. The two things to me are just so much of a journey. We know the path. We know what's in front of us. We have the word. We know what's in front of us when we read it. We know how things that affect us can change our perspective because we see what's in front of us in a different way. The song that I sung, unless you've heard the song before, you probably never thought of the various lights on a Christmas tree and what they can signify. Christmas trees with red lights on, showing you the potential dangers. The Christmas trees with green lights on, showing you what you can go on with. The warm glow of the orange. The lights can show us something about the way ahead. When we look at the readings that we've had, there's a very strong impression about remaining focused on the Word of God and not being focused on the Gospel and sticking with what it tells us. You know, you can go into a magnificent cathedral and that awe and wonder that we all feel. But what do we really see? Do we really see the presence of God in that building? Or do we see the architect who designed it? We have to focus as Christians on what we see. We can see a challenge. You've responded to a challenge. We can see the need for charity. We respond to the charity. We recognize that sometimes when we're supporting a charity, something might go wrong. That it might not all quite end up where we hoped it would. But actually, what we've done is respond to a need. We have done what our Christian faith tells us to do, to respond to a need, to share God's love, to share the things that God gives to us, to share them with others, because they're not ours. They are there. We're just stewards. We're there to help others. And we get that if we stick and stay focused on the gospel. Jesus made it so much more simple for us in understanding the law of faith and religion. He took 10 commandments and he made it easy by turning them into 2. Because it's much easier to know 2 than try and remember the 10 that are in order. But the big thing he did was love your neighbour. And when we see that phrase, love your neighbour, we have to act. We have to take our faith and we have to act. And we have to share that. And we do it in humility. And we do it because we see the need for the world to change. We see the need for the love that we experience. We see that need for that to be shared. Our candles start to build us on that journey. Over the next few weeks, we can focus more and more on what it is that Jesus gives us by being born at Christmas time. So we can see the light, and we have to take that light to others.